Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Elder Denise Bryson of Denise Bryson Ministries.
What am I doing right here? Oh, no. God, what am I supposed to be doing over here? I got all these gadgets.
Okay, launch meeting. There you go. Put your email in. Continue. Oh. But you're taking it away from me, whacking. Okay, now. Okay. Once you get to it. It continued. Okay. Denise, did
I
you
want to
see
the Christmas tree that ain't took down
okay.
yet.
Hold on. No, not the Christmas tree.
I'm telling you, they ain't took it down yet.
Okay. Then hold. Let me see. Join as.
Hold on. I keep putting
panelists. Join as panelists. He's going to be a panelist, right?
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Hold
there
on
you
there.
Go.
Okay, now.
Okay. Okay. Now, scroll. Don't click there, Ralph.
Take the mute off.
Go down there and take your mute off.
Click on the mute button.
Hey, I got it.
Okay, now the microphone still won't let you do it?
Yeah, you gotta click the start the video. You gotta click that.
Yeah.
Next to the microphone.
Yeah, it's not doing that. Wait a minute, share screen. It's actually not doing that. I mean, that's where we were last time.
Yeah.
Are you on a phone or you on an iPad or computer?
I don't think this thing is really.
No, I don't think that's it, Ralph, because
Exactly. 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 So
can you do a Zoom on your phone?
I can click the link.
Yeah,
just do it on your phone.
I'll do it.
And then just put the computer off after you get off the phone. After you get on.
Yeah, make sure the computer is off, but you get a feed in the background if you don't.
All right, I'm gonna just what I'll do is just email the whole thing. I'll disconnect and come back in.
You can do the email on your phone, right?
Right.
Okay. Well, just do that on your phone.
And I'll send it to you in a text as well.
She's gonna text it to your app. You hear me? She's gonna text it to you where you can open it up from a text message.
Oh, you see these blankets my daughter makes, Summer?
Oh, those are nice.
Yeah, she knit them.
You need to put them on the market.
Yeah, she got a little website. I don't know if she got a website. She sold a few of them, about three or four of them to family members.
Ralph, you're going to have to check.
Oh, here he is, right here.
He's
on here. I'm getting him again. There we go.
Now, your camera is off with me. Okay.
Hey, I'm on the Zoom, I'm on the iPad. So. You on your way home?
Yeah, I'm on the way home now.
All right, y'all be careful. Talk to you later.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, how's the Zoom?
Oh, we haven't started yet. We just getting started.
Okay.
All right.
I'm moving on.
You guys will do the same
all
thing
right,
with the bottom. Ramp like you did on your on the other one. You have to click the video down at the bottom. You might have to get off the phone with me though.
Yeah. Oh,
he was there.
Come on in the room. There he is. Come on in the room. Yeah. We on it now.
Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, bless you.
We're going to get started. Hold on. Oh, Lord,
I got to
get back on there. Hold on. Now, here I go.
You got Pastor Sarah T.
I think that's one of our board members' sisters.
Okay.
Yeah, she's just coming on the list, and so she's on here. Uh-huh. I mean, they might have questions. I don't know. What's happening? Okay, I guess I'm on this. Okay. Oh, hold on, y'all. Now I'm fumbling. I got the picture. Okay, here we go. Okay, so let me get on here. Let me get this on Facebook. So we're going to be ready to go here in a minute. Oh, I'll wait till he come back. Seth, you might need a little more light.
How about that? I might need to open the light in the front. Hold on.
I'm going to take it back before I get to go live, but...
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, we can hear you, bro.
Huh?
Yeah, we can hear you.
I can definitely hear you. Come in. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Let's see.
Can you hear us?
I can barely hear you. It's like you guys are breaking up.
I'm trying to see. That's enough light right there.
Yeah, that's better. Yeah, that's better.
All right.
Okay, Eric, we ready? What y'all think?
We got one more on the screen. What was that? Pastor Sarah T, you said, the board member?
Yeah, uh-huh. They're coming in listening mode. They're just listening.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, we can hear you.
You know, we can hear you fine. You can't hear us?
Yeah, I have the volume all the way up.
We can
hear
you
fine.
I hear you, but it's like an echo.
Oh, did you turn off your computer? I mean, your the other computer?
Yeah. Let's see. Shut it down.
Are you getting a feedback, right?
Exactly.
You got to have, there's something around you that's interfering if you're getting an echo.
Hello?
Now,
yeah,
that's that earpiece. I knew it was.
I'm listening to it like, what the hell am I listening?
We're going to need you to put up all your gadgets.
All your gadgets.
I can really hear you guys now. Yeah. He's like, I hear an echo. Yeah, I'm thinking, what in the heck is that?
That
but yeah, this is cool. I can hear everybody.
Okay. So
okay, good.
Ready to go.
Yeah, I'm thinking, what in the heck is that? But yeah, this is cool. I can hear everybody.
We are ready to go.
And,
okay, let me make sure.
We are ready to go. It says record at the top of my screen.
Yeah, it's being recorded live on Facebook.
Okay.
And YouTube, I think.
Yeah, we on Instagram, then I'll put it on YouTube later.
Okay.
Mhm. All right. We are ready to go. Good evening.
All right.
Good evening, gentlemen. So I'm so thankful and so excited to be a part of this moment, because this is what we call our impact moments, and it's based upon our nonprofit 180 Impact. And so we like to have interesting stories and great stories to be told. Because, and so both of you have a very unique and very great story. So I wanted this to be a part of our moments. And so we wanted to make sure that we captured you all's story, because this is really some great information. And also, you know, just great testimonies about your story, your life, and how things have turned out, and the way that things did. You know, so many times, I know at our church we have a ministry called, what is it?
Tory program.
Yeah, the Tory program. The Tory program, where they actually do help people that have been incarcerated when they come out to kind of get their life back on track, and so they do those types of things. But I noticed when even we have the graduation, some of them, you know, they say they were able to obtain housing, or they were not able to obtain housing, or they may have gotten employment, or they may not have gotten employment. And so, you know, so much of that happens to some of our brothers and our sisters that come out of prison or come out of jail, and they really don't have that support. And so sometimes the resources and the support, so it may cause them, you know, to fall back, or, you know, just or not to know exactly what to do. And so I wanted to highlight, Thomas brought this idea to me, so it wasn't even mine, but when he brought it to me, you know, I get excited about all this kind of stuff, so I'm really excited today. And so he brought it to me, so he's co-hosting, so I'm not going to be doing that much talking, I'm just talking right now. But anyway, he is, because it is called Men a Favor, and so I want the men to do what they do, and so I'm always excited about that, so I'll be on here, but I'm going to let him talk. And so I've talked to each of you, and I've been fascinated just by what the conversations we've had about you all's story, so I'm excited about that. So I'm really going to turn it over to Thomas, and I'm going to let him take the wheel. Go ahead, Thomas.
Well, nobody planned on letting you take the wheel. I just thought you were going to ask some stories, and I was going to give some input.
Okay, well, I can do that. I can, because he's got
to. Let me start off with some questions.
Okay.
I mean, let me say this.
Okay.
Let me just say this. I education background in rehabilitation counseling. I got my degree from UNT. And one of my practicum experiences was working for the parole and pardons department upon intake in the intake department where prisoners would be released, and they would be one of the first faces they've seen when they come to see their parole officer. So I got some experience and knowledge on the transition process, but I know that, you know, Denise, you guys may have some questions, and I can just kind of interject, and I'm going to let them do most of the talking, but I can just interject on my experience from an educational perspective and also from my personal experience with working with parolees. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I just want to, I'm going to let them tell their stories because I think that we get more people in, so let me get these other people on the line. I just want them to be able to tell. So I'll start with Stancy, and so let's talk about Stancy because Stancy actually developed a program while he was incarcerated that really has helped a lot of the young men that were incarcerated with him. And then when he got out of prison, he was able to. I'm going to let you tell the story because I don't want to tell it. Come on, Stancy. It's amazing.
All right. Hello, everybody. My name is Stancy Lloyd. My name is Stancy Lloyd, and at the time, I'm 50 years young. I went into the institution back in 91, 92. And from there, I always told myself I'm not a product of that environment. Even though I made a mistake, went to prison and everything like that, but I was the type of guy, choose my own way. I wasn't going to follow everything, what everybody else was doing. My objective was that this is not the end of the road. This is a mistake I made, and life goes on, and, you have to sit there, take a look at yourself in the mirror and find out, hey, what am I going to do once this is over? And so that was one of my biggest things, that no matter what, I wasn't going to come back into society not knowing, having no type of skills, anything like that. So that was my main objective, to come out of prison and to be a force to be reckoned with in regards of working, starting a business, or anything like that. And then while I was there, I went through every program they had. I mean, every program. And the program, it wasn't developed in me. Once I went to college at Donya, I went to college also at Donya, went to Trinity Valley Community College, and did that. There were some things still missing. And so I went in search, what can I do? How can I help myself? Because, you still have that, can everybody hear me? It's like everybody went mute.
No, we're on mute.
Okay.
I can't
no,
hear
mute,
anything. We can hear you. We just muting, so we won't have any interference.
That's right.
There.
Okay. So after that, once I took all the different programs that they offered, like I said, some still missing. And so I went and searched. I did some soul search, and I come up with a program called Second Chance Men. And from there, like I was explaining to Denise, and I talked to Thomas about it, that, everybody want a second chance in life, want a second chance at something to correct themselves or correct the situation. And so from there, like I said, I went to doing a lot of soul searching, a lot of research, and I started looking at that man in the mirror. You know, once you just really look at that man in the mirror and find out and understand, hey, it's your fault. You know, whatever situation, however you make your life to be, it's your fault that your life is like that, because you have to make some changes in your attitude, changes in your conduct, changes in your behavior, and also changes in your skills to make yourself marketable to the job market. And if not, if you can't do that, then you make yourself, you create a business for yourself.
Oh, okay. Looks like you had frozen.
Hello?
Okay,
yeah.
We're here. It looks like you had frozen for a minute.
Okay. I think that, man, that says a lot about yourself.
I mean, wanting to improve where you've been and where you're going. But what I want to iterate mostly is how did we get here? You know? And a lot of young men, particularly myself, we didn't have fathers. I'm not going to say that's an excuse, you know, because it's not, because each individual has to be responsible for himself. And like I said, I think we need to figure out how do we get here and how do we prevent from going in that direction. And then if we have been in that direction, what mindset and what skills and just basic things that we do every day that's natural to the productive person in this life, in this world, you know? And one thing is your environment, you know? I think if you change your environment, it's going to give you a different perspective, a different train of thought. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. And so even if you live in the projects, say, you know, and everything around you is just crazy. There's no home for your television, your shoes, or anything. You can improve yourself by just cleaning up your immediate environment. It's going to give you a different frame of mind. And I think when you really think about it, because you'll probably be a testament, when we were in jail, everything had a home. You know what I mean? Because it wasn't much space. So you kept your toothbrush here. You kept the neatness that you had in jail is the neatness that you need to, you know, maintain out in the world. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then education. I mean, a lot of us, you know, the education system here in Dallas wasn't very good for me. It wasn't. So I didn't learn much, you know, and for you to be able to go to school and continue to grow, you know, educationally, that's perfectly fine. I take my hat off to you. But me personally, I had to deal with myself. Like he said, you deal with yourself and willpower. See, willpower is my definition is being able to do the right thing. And when we talk to God, that gives us willpower. Does that make sense? So if you're talking to God and God is giving you the power to do the things you need to do, it's going to allow you to make the right decision, opposed to going and standing on the corner drinking that 40 with your friends. You're going to do something more productive. And then it's easy to do the wrong thing, but the willpower will give you the power to do the right thing, and that's go to the gym. Do something productive. Start your business, opposed to going and hanging out with Tom, Dick, and Harry. My language. But that's real,
yeah.
You know? And when you can actually get your willpower strong enough to do the things that you need to do in this world, we can prevent going to the penitentiary, you know? And another thing. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, no, I was thinking about what you were saying, and I thought about it. You know, when we were younger, you know, sometimes our parents, you know, they told us, they said, now, don't hang. I know my mother would say, don't hang with them little fast-tailed girls because they're going to get you in trouble, so you don't need to go down there and hang with them. Or they would say, or to my brothers, she would say, well, no, you don't need to go down there and hang with them boys on that corner because, and when you think about it, I've said this before, when you think about it, some of that was your first alcoholic beverage. That was your first reefer, if I'm dating myself, but that's what they called them when I was coming on reefers. And then some of it was your first cigarette, all of that. I remember being 12 years old. This is a funny story because you always got a funny story. I was 12 years old, and we were down we were at church, downstairs in the basement smoking cigarettes. We were 12. I'm telling you how old we were 12. And we were down in the basement smoking a cigarette, and one of the deacon's wives came in. She was letting us have it, too. She called us, and she said, I'm going to tell all your parents. And I told her, I said, if you don't tell my mother, I swear I will never smoke again. Because my mother was going to kill me. I knew what she was going to do. I wasn't going to be here today if she had told it. And I told her, I mean, I will never smoke again. And so I didn't. But she would ask me all the time. She said, "You have any cigarettes?" I said, "No, ma'am, I have not smoked." Because I did not want her to tell my mother that, because that was going to be a situation all by itself. So I know what you're talking about when we have to make those decisions. But see, at the time, we thought we knew better than what our parents did. We didn't think they knew anything. So we went on and done those things, and then that caused us to get in these situations. That's all I wanted to say. Go ahead, Ralph.
Again, the willpower, I mean, if you get on your knees and ask God for strength for whatever it is that you're trying to do, just to, Lord, give me the strength to make it through the next day. You know what's right for me. The will of God is right. You know what I mean? It's right, regardless of how you look at it. It's right, and if you're praying to God, your will be righteous. That's the point that I wanted to make, and a lot of us get involved with drugs and alcohol. You know, and that leads us down this rabbit hole where a lot of times ends up in the penitentiary because you're just doing whatever. Your lack of willpower, lack of guidance, lack of covering from the Lord. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But when a lot of guys don't realize, when you're doing drugs, it kills your ability to function correctly, okay? Everybody knows that. But where I'm going is that nutrition, it blocks the nutrition from the brain. And a lot of times, if anybody knows, after you've gotten off work, for instance, if you've gotten off work and you're hungry and you're used to drinking beer after work, that satisfies your nutritional needs. Does that make sense? It satisfies your nutritional needs. So when you feel like you have a temptation to do whatever it is that you're doing, that you're trying to fight for drugs and alcohol, if you decide to get something to eat opposed to that drug of choice or that beer or whatever, I guarantee you it'll be suffice.
Hello?
If anybody's out there listening,
you're
having an addiction issue,
but you can get on there if you
sit
want.
Sit down and eat a sandwich, because all that is your body's craving some nutrition.
Okay.
I've done it.
Okay, I'll
call you back. I've worked hard like an animal, ate lunch, and everybody went to the beer store, and then you drink a beer, and now you're not even hungry anymore. Give me another beer, dog. And then you end up, you know, you drank 6 beers, and now you can't even get up and function and go to work tomorrow.
Can I say something? Yeah, because substance abuse has been an elephant in the room in the Afro-American community, and it seemed like it just the issue skyrocketed after the 70s and 80s is when we really started having some. First, there was crack epidemics that caused a lot of our young men to be incarcerated because, you know, I would say to a lot of guys, when they get out of prison, because, you know, when you get out of prison, they give you that look, just enough money to go back out there and buy that next slab of dope so you can go back out on the corner. I call it systematic pimping. You know, you get just that money, and because they don't have options. You know, they don't give you many options. They just give you that money, and they don't give you options. If there's no rehabilitation in prison, then when you come out, you have nothing to work with because you haven't been, you're already coming out from an institutional frame of mind, and that's the reason a lot of guys I see a revolving door where they go end up back in prison. There's no transition option because what do they do? Now, I know from my experience, you know, some of the guys that will come from the halfway house or people come, they parole to someone's house, they come to their first parole meeting, and then when you go to asking them about their goals, what are they planning on doing, you know, maybe if they don't have a short period of time, they're going to be on parole, but what is their plan of action? None of them would have a plan of action.
Right.
And how many know, I mean, you know, and y'all could probably attest to this, you know, going into prison, had some goals and dreams, and then once you got into prison, those goals and dreams died. And then you lost some years. things you had that you went back and put. So a lot of times, you need someone out there for you. And
for me, Thomas, I had, you know, when I went to jail, I had a lot of hopes and dreams. And this is the biggest part of what happens to us as black men in society. We have these dreams, but we don't have the real power to pursue them. And once I had a good train of thought, I lost it. It's unbelievable. We get in these situations. Well, okay, here I'm back on track. Thank God. A lot of times we're moving too fast in this world. If you don't, like I said, it goes back to the environment. If you don't have a decent environment to lay your head, to think about what it is that you want to do the next day, you know, and watch TV and have food and the air conditioning's blowing and you're comfortable at home. A lot of us, when we're in the hood, you're never comfortable at home because home's not comfortable. You end up on the street, hanging out on the street. You know what I mean? Then you go home at night when it's time to go to sleep. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, if you've never been there, you can't never understand it. I mean, seriously, because living in the ghetto is not a joke. People get up in the morning and they have nothing. Why would you want to be at home where there's filth? Your bed is not, you know what I mean, comfortable enough. But you go get drunk and you come home and fall asleep, you're fine. Then you get back up and start that cycle all over again. See, but jail gave me a chance to slow my life down. This was the best thing that ever happened to me. Because I was moving 100 miles an hour.
Fancy, can you mute your, excuse me, Fancy, can you mute yourself? Because we get a lot of feedback from you.
I was going 100 miles an hour. And just those 2 years where I had a structure, get up in the morning, eat your breakfast, go to the field, come back in here, you know what I mean? Eat your lunch, go back out in the field, and then come home and shower, and then go to bed. A lot of us as black men don't have that structure. And it's virtually impossible for a woman to teach a black man some structure.
Exactly.
You know, a lot of these guys, they take on a female emotion issue. Because a female, if they're raised by a female, the female gets emotional. And she goes crazy. She screams and howls. And then these females are raising these men, and these men are way stronger, and if they get in their feelings, they can do harm to people. You know what I mean? They beat them up. They get violent because their feelings have been hurt. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And just the process of slowing down. Even when you get out of jail, you have to slow down. You have to have willpower. You have to know, get your environment together. And you have to have goals. See, I mean, when I say goals, people say, oh, I want to be a doctor in 10 years. No. Those are things, those are beautiful goals. But small goals. This is what I learned in prison. Small goals. Give yourself 30 minutes to clean your area up. You know what I mean? That's a sense of accomplishment. Give yourself an hour or whatever, a time period to do these very small, tiny goals, and then it grows into larger goals, and then you become the man that you want to be with the willpower, with your environment structure, and drugs and alcohol, because you can easily fall back into where you've been if you're dealing with drugs and alcohol. You know what I mean?
So we got a question, and someone asked a question directly to you, and then we're gonna let Fancy.
Okay.
The question is: your school did not help you. This is someone talking to you. Your school did not help you with your learning.
Mm-hmm.
What did you do to educate yourself with developing your basic learning of reading, writing, math, and et cetera? And if you could be, give us like 2 minutes and then so we can just fancy a time to...
Well, it wasn't a process that happened overnight. Believe it or not, the cell phone has helped me learn to read and write and spell. Because I have dyslexia. I would put a spell U-Y-U-A. Y-U-O. You know what I mean? I just couldn't do it. It just was one of those things that was a hindrance to me. But what you do is apply yourself. When you apply yourself, you can do anything that you want to do. I mean, when you apply yourself, say, I'm going to read a paragraph a day, or I'm going to read 3 sentences a day. I'm going to learn to spell 3 words a day. If you apply yourself, you can do anything. God has given us the ability to do whatever it is in this world that we want to do, but you have to apply yourself. And far as school, I mean, it things. You know, I even wrote notes here, and I'm a terrible spell. But I've applied myself enough where I can function in this world. And I've developed a skill that I make quite a bit of money. You know what I mean? And if you're not a scholar, you use your hands better than you do your brain, find something that you can do. They have truck driving, they have air conditioning schools, they have all types of things that you can do with your hands. You know, but you're going to have to develop your reading and writing skills, and that goes to applying yourself.
Well, you know,
all right, thank you. Go ahead, Denise.
Well, you know what I think? I think what you've accomplished is that the art of discipline. Because you've been able to discipline yourself, and like you said, you started with those small goals, just keeping your area clean. And when we do those, I mean, even now, if in your home or wherever, if you keep your area clean and you clean up, you say, oh, I'm cleaning up today, this is my cleaning day, and you get that accomplished. I know for myself, when I get that accomplished, I just keep going back in the room looking at it because I'm
exactly.
So happy it's clean. I be so happy it's
exactly.
Done. And so I go back in and I just be sitting there looking, just happy about it because it's done. And like you said, it's a sense of accomplishment. And I think with that,
right.
With anything, when we make those small goals, and one of the things, like with weight loss, because you talked about going to the gym. And so even with that, going to the gym, I remember when I was on a journey to lose weight, and so I was like over 300 and some pounds, and so I lost
right.
weight. But what I did was when I started going back to the gym, not that I need to get back to it, but when I was going to the gym at that point in time, I took my time. I knew the people on this side of the treadmill, and on this side of me, they might have had it at
mm-hmm.
8.2. I had mine on 2 point something until I could move it up to 3 point something, until I could move it up to
That's
4
right.
point something. But what that taught
That's
me
right.
was a tenacity to keep going little by little. I remember seeing a young lady at the gym, and she was plus like me. She was a big girl. She was doing everything. She was going on the elliptical. She was going on the treadmill. She was going on the bike. I said, she ain't coming back. I said, she ain't going to come back. And, yeah, because she done wore herself out. You just got to get in there and stay, and don't focus on what everybody else is doing. They probably have been doing that for a long time, and so they can do that, but I couldn't do that. So there wasn't no need in me doing that, making myself, because then I wasn't going to come back. So, but I paced
right.
myself, and because of that, I remember when I first started getting on the elliptical machine, I could only do 10 minutes. That's all I could do. And so I did,
right.
I would do the treadmill for 30, and then I'd get on that elliptical for 10 minutes until I was able to do 30 minutes. But it took me some time to work up to it. And I think when we discipline
yeah.
ourselves like that, then we see the short-term goals, and then we can reach the longer-term goals. Because there's so many, like you said, so many young men that are being raised by women. My brother was fortunate enough. My father died when I was 12, and he was 17. But then one of his friends, my father's friends, kind of took up the load, took up the place. You know what I'm saying? He kind of was in his
mm-hmm.
life, still teaching him stuff, still doing those kind of things. So he was fortunate in that area. But still, you know, our mothers do the best they can. But like you said, they so emotional sometimes, and then everybody emotional, and it's a hot mess. But it's so good to know that, you know, you have to, I mean, what you said was so good, you have to pace yourself. And then you have to, like with the reading and the writing, you just have to keep practicing it because all of us had to practice it. It wasn't that we were so
smart, right.
But we all had to keep practicing as they took us through the things. That's just what happened. And so we got better at it. I'm an author, but do I write grammatically correct? No, I do not. And so I have to have an editor. And so I'm okay with that. Hey, it is what it is. I was a math person. So, but anyway, that's the thing you have to understand, that you can still accomplish goals. You might just have to go through a different avenue to get there. Thank you.
I think that's good.
The art of discipline.
Yeah.
Okay. The art of discipline.
Okay.
All right.
One thing I
kind of want to get into, because I know both of you guys have been self-owners, self-starters as far as business is concerned. I know one of the obstacles that a lot of people that come out of prison have is that their ability to find a job, ability to find housing. We're going to talk about becoming self-employed first. How you became self-employed, the steps you took, and then we're going to talk about housing. We're going to talk about housing. So those are two obstacles I know that a lot of men that come out of parole, they have issues with when they get out of parole, by finding a place to stay and getting a job. Fancy, can we start with you?
Okay. Someone in your family, and I'll do 6 months. Stay with the family member for 6 months. But you have to have that stuff. Anyway, sit with yourself and say, hey, I got 6 months. What am I going to do? You find your job. Man, look, I'm going to explain it to you like this. I swept floors. I cleaned the warehouse. I packed boxes. I put on a tool belt, stood in front of Home Depot, and made $500 a day. You know what I'm saying? Because I got a skill. My skill was I'm an HVAC technician. But I know how to put nails on the board. I know how to read a tape measure. So instead of standing on the sign and say, hey, stand on the street with a sign and say, hey, help. Hey, stand on the corner and say, hey, I need a job. And that's my thing. If God forbid, if things go so bad for me, stand on the corner with a sign and say, I don't want your money. I don't want your handout. I need a job. I want a job. You know, and that's one of the things a lot of brothers, when they come out of the institution, you don't want to look at that man in the mirror. And that man in the mirror will allow you to have that self-evaluation. And so in my time, when I was at that institution, I talked to him, hey, I had a mirror. Look at this. This is you, man. You did this shit. You created this shit. So you have to uncreate this shit. You know what I'm saying? So you have the negative and the positive. Write down all the other things you don't like about yourself. Write down the things that you like about yourself. And that's how I approached it, you know, because this is what I did with myself. Setting signs at 5x9 cell, at 9x6, or whatever the size of the cell is, sitting there and did some soul searching, did some contemplating. And like I say, one of the things that man in the mirror, so you have to have some, I was told a long time ago, you have to put your P's in order. Your principles, parties, and perspectives, and your values. You know, I understand growing up in the hood is hard, but then that's an excuse because the opportunity is always there. Like I was telling Denise earlier today before we started the Zoom, you pray and ask God to do this, ask God to do that. But then the number one thing is God, that old parable say, I sent you a boat, I sent you a ship, I sent you a man on a donkey, but you let all these opportunities pass by. You didn't grab hold of now one of these opportunities. Sometimes you got to ask somebody, hey, man, what did you do? I'm going to give you a final example because I use myself as a big example. When you come out of the institution, you have credit. You have a credit score, but you don't have no established credit. When I came out of the institution, my credit score was 611. I didn't have no established credit. Didn't have no bank account. So the little jobs I went to, saving my penny. You know, I went down to a credit union in Texas to open up an account for $25 and get to a point where you have your check being directly deposited into the bank. I even worked at nightclubs. So all the money I made at the nightclub, I deposited inside credit union bank. You know, and I didn't have a 40 check to get them at the time until I went and got a job working at the warehouse with a staff nation. That's the number one thing that kills jobs here in the United States, the staffing agency. Because it's like a herd of cows. You herd all these people in, and out of 500 people that come in for a job, you probably hire 20 of them. You know what I'm saying? And then the thing about it is that you get around the insurance, you get around workman's compensation, you get around all these things, and it's just another tool that as they say, the 1% are using not to pay these extra costs in regards of having a proper business running with the rules that was already established in the United States. So that's neither here or there, but then that's how I started. When I started understanding the system, that's when I can make some changes with myself here when I got home. Like I said, you have to have some established. You have a credit score. And you just, like I said, you don't have no establishment. So what you have to do is start establishing some type of credit. When you go into a rental center, you rent some furniture, whatever, and once you get a place to stay, I just say a family member can hire you 6 months. In 6 months, you can save enough money. And then the number one thing is that they do have apartment complexes that are allow ex-offenders to get a place to stay. Yeah, some of them is run down, or some of them you don't like staying there. But it all, hey, one thing I learned about being in the United States is there is a will, there is a way. You know what I'm saying? And because you can go in and talk to the manager. He can look at you, hey, I'm going to give you a chance. And there it is. And so you don't mess that up. Like I say, the second chance plan program, you don't mess that chance up. When you don't mess that chance up, you open doors for other brothers and other sisters to come behind you with that same ex or that same stigmatism. You know what I'm saying? It's so opportunity. So they, I don't have a problem running that to think. Hey, they better than some people have a job who don't have a record. You know what I'm saying? Because they're going to be there and they know one thing, the mistake you're gone. So that's how I look at it. You know, I don't make excuses. You know, that's one of the things that I used to tell the brothers. Then, you know, like we had a session called Keeping It Real. I'm going to tell you the way it is, man, because I want to receive it the same way I'm giving. Don't beat around the bush. Don't sugarcoat it. I don't need that. You know, but that's the way it is.
I know that you, okay, right now you have your own truck driving business. Can you give some insight to someone that may be watching and want to know how to get started in business with a price, with a bullseye on their back? How do they get started in business? What did you do? How did you transition from being employed and employable to owning your own business? And I'm going to tell you,
okay, number one thing, a lot of brothers and sisters, a lot of brothers don't know that the Workforce Commission, they'll pay for your driver, like they'll pay for any trade we'd like to go into. So they got a program called the WIOA. I'm going to repeat that so people can understand what I'm saying. The WIOA program. What that program do is that Texas, they have set aside some money for people who want to further their education, further their skills, or what have you. And what they do is they'll pay for you to take this program, and then their school, they're associated with the Workforce Commission. The only stipulation is that when you was 18 years old, you had to be declared for the draft, as they call it. You know what I'm saying? So once all that is said and done, a young lady by the name of Sawyer Hart, who worked for the Workforce Commission over here in Southwest Dallas, over here where we stay at, she's a beautiful sister. She don't mind helping you, but she's no nonsense. You know what I'm saying? She's straight across the board. Also, the Workforce Commission, I understand with the COVID thing, has put everything down the back burner. They give you vouchers, bus passes, and all this shit, right? So when I did that, I went and got my CDL. From there, I found that my case said, have you convicted of a felony in a year, right? So, no, my conviction happened 20 years ago. So I got on with a company called PFG. PFG, called Performance Food Group over here. When I'm at the roll off, I tell them all the time, hey, man, opportunity at Performance Food Group. They'll hire you. They understand your background. They're kind of soft or kind of lenient, but don't mess the opportunity up. I didn't see a lot of guys over there get a job. You know, praise be to Almighty God, they would never got a job. you start off, if you don't have your CDL, what they'll do is you call a truck helper. You have to unload the truck. They unload at Wingstop, pizza places, Chuck E. Cheese's. You know, that's when you start out as a truck helper. While you're going to school to get your truck driving license, right? So once you start driving a truck, my thing is, I understand that the trucking industry is $143 billion industry. I understand that. I understand that the United States truckers are short 500,000 truckers. You know what I'm saying? So when I understood that, I said, hold on, wait a minute. I'm driving this truck. I'm going to Midland every day, twice a week. You know what I'm saying? And get home on a Thursday. I'm like, man, I said, you know what? Let me do. I started doing some research. Find out. But once I understood my credit, I didn't have an established credit, and I started establishing credit. So with the job, I had a direct deposit. Once my store reached the 680, you got different banks. They'll deal with 680, 660. They'll work with you. But what I did, I went in and got what they call a secure credit loan. I took $250 into the bank. I gave them $250. I'm using that system to create or establish credit history. So I take the $250, they're going to charge you $43.23 a month, right? They're going to take, if you don't pay that $43.23 a month, you pay that out of your checking account. That $250 is still there. You just got a limit of $250. After 90 days, they're going to come to you and ask you, do you want a loan increase? Now, 6 months, they're going to ask you, do you want an unsecured credit card? But a lot of people don't understand this here. You know what I'm saying? And so this is another thing that every place I come in front, I mean, from the East Coast to the West Coast, at all times, brothers, you know, I tell them this. But you can understand, man, you have to know, if you don't know the rules, if you like to say in the street, you don't know the game, hey, the game to be sold, not sold, I'm telling the game. I don't mind telling because I always say, the knowledge don't belong to me, it belongs to God. You know what I'm saying? Some people may not believe in God. Hey, that's your business. Hey, with you, but I believe in God. Because I don't know man flip the night and the day up every day. Make the sun, make it rain. I know no man has no control of that. You know what I'm saying? I don't believe in a Big Bang Theory after my research. That's a bunch of hogwash. But anyway, what brothers don't understand is the credit game, being, you can say, hold on, wait a minute. You may have said, I can do this here. Well, let me try this here. One thing that Peter tells you is don't try.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because once you go in and start asking questions, man, I have 5 to 10 questions. I went into my bank account to the BBVA while I got on my account in Navy Federal. I had 10 questions. Lady say, you're pretty knowledgeable. No, I just want to understand where I'm putting my money and what's the return on my money. You know, once I start doing this, if I do this, it's so like a rap to go to sin. I have small goals. I live my life right now. Praise be to Almighty God. 1 to 3 years, 3 to 5 years. I came home in 2012. If everything to do in 5 years, I did it. And people, they like, man, what you doing? Did you sound dope? Man, that life is behind me. I'd never go back down that road. You know what I'm saying? And then a lot of brothers that drive the truck that own operators, they say the trucking industry is a new dope game. You know what I'm saying? And so it is in a way because I can drive 1,000 miles and earn $3,000, you know. And once you understand the dynamics of the trucking industry or the dynamics of the financial institution, then you can say, okay, let me try this shit. Don't be scared because, hey, it's still money. What's going to happen? It's like with the stock market. You know, you're taking a chance, but you're taking a chance with an institution that's already established. And majority of times, people go to Bank of America, Chase, they go to all these different banks. But you got to understand, these people use your money to invest. You know what I'm saying? That's the reason why they want you to have a boarded check. And they say, hey, we got this amount of money coming in every month, every week. So we can invest this money here. And then they use that money to invest to grow the business. But the one thing is let them do what they don't. You know what I'm saying? You're trying to get established and get your foot in the door. Once you get your foot in the door, because you always have somebody that's in the bank. Remember. evidence, whether they're black, white, Hispanic, Chinese, Vietnamese, or whatever. You have somebody that is willing to show you the different steps to get where you're trying to go. You know what I'm saying? Once I did those steps, started getting established, in 3 years, I had a house, praise be to Almighty God, started a business, you know. But like Ralph said, you have to have some discipline. You have to have the small goals as you move forward. But I had blinders on. I'm not going to lie to you. I had blinders on, and wasn't nothing going to get in my way. You know, you have to be that determined. You know, that's the reason why I thank God allowed me to bless me where I'm at, because I don't mind helping nobody. You know what I'm saying? I don't mind sharing information. But you have to do these things here, because God opened other doors and other avenues that you have a network of people to deal with, you know. And so if anybody got any questions, I don't mind asking.
It's interesting that you would say that, because you know, the grace is given unto us after we've made out, once we start doing that damage control from what the destructive pattern, that path that you were on, once we start doing damage control, God begins to open doors, give us grace. Because, you know, I've been, I don't watch you from the time you got out.
Yeah.
I've seen you. You got on my nerves a lot of times.
Yeah, you know, I got a lot of questions.
He's going to ask you some information now. He's going to hold you hostage and ask you some questions. But you see, he absorbed the information, and you see the product that has been created by him absorbing information. And like you say, he has blind phones, and you don't have to return back to that same path, you know. There is a new way, and when God gives us the grace, you have to take that grace and let grace work for us. And that's what you're doing. So I know you own your own trucking company now, and you're getting ready to start another rig, right?
Yeah, I'm
going to
buy another truck in the next couple of weeks.
You're owning your own place
now,
and I could just imagine what your 10-year goal is going to be like. Okay, so we're going to let Ralph tell us a little bit about when he came out.
Now, one thing, Ralph, I know this here, Ralph, the people that are watching, young men and women, crime cannot be an option. I don't care how hard it gets, how bad it gets, crime can't be an option. Because once crime become an option, then you allow yourself to slip back in that old mold, that old behavior, that old way of thinking. Crime can't be an option. I put that out there, that crime can't be an option.
Now that you see that story, it's funny, man. I got out, and I went to jail for selling drugs. And I told God I wasn't going to sell any more drugs. And then I just started my business, and I do paint and skin repair. And I would go around to the dealerships and fix their cars, doing the paint and skin repair, you know, the small dents and dings and stuff like that. And it was a tenor, white guy, coming to me and said, "Hey, man, do you know where to get some crack?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I forgot about the vow that I made to God." And I went right down to the hood, got some crack, and then as soon as I bought the crack, I went straight to him. I said, "Didn't you talk to God about this?" I spent $50. $50 threw it out the window and went right back to the dealership. Said, "Nah, man, I couldn't get in." You know what I mean? You're right. You cannot return back to the vomit of a dog. You just can't do that and expect any success. But that being said, you're right. My experience was a little different. You know, I would like to say to anybody that is listening, attitude is key, you know. And it took me till I was 30 years old to know what a good attitude was. My mom always told me, "You got a bad attitude. You got a bad attitude. You never know. What is a bad attitude?" Can anybody answer that question? What's a bad attitude?
Well, it's usually what we
don't plead the fifth.
Yeah. A bad attitude is when we just, I mean, it's negative. A bad attitude is negative to me. That's what I consider a bad attitude, or an attitude that, you know, you find wrong and you find something wrong with it, things that are good, and you just, it's just negative. I think that's what a bad attitude is. You know, that's my definition.
I thought bad attitude was just I was bad. I rode with a guy from Arizona, to Missouri, and we talked. And he says, Ralph, you got to, I was 30 years old. Ralph, you just got to have a good attitude. I'm like, okay, man, tell me what a good attitude is. A good attitude is being willing to help in any situation with a smile. If you're on a job and they say, could I get you to sweep that back room, but you didn't get hired to sweep that back room. But if you grab that broom with a smile and say, sure, and get in there and bless that, that's a good attitude.
That's a good attitude.
Right. And most of the time, when people have great attitudes, excuse my language, being having a good attitude most of the time is the damn food. On his job. You know what I mean? Because I know he'll do it because he's got a good attitude. But I guarantee you, when they need some help and they need some hours to be issued out, they're going to call you because you had a good attitude.
Exactly. That's right.
You know what I mean? That's a good attitude. A bad attitude is, that ain't my job. I don't do that type of stuff. They're going to ask you to do something, you frown. A good attitude will get you further than anything on this planet.
Yes.
Especially in society. I don't care if it's me and Thomas, me and you, and you have something that you want me to do, and I say, nah, sign up. You don't want to deal with me. You have to be, have a good attitude and have a willing spirit to do what's right. Like you said, I recommend you for going the route that you did. It didn't happen like that for me. You know, you're a smart brother. You know what I mean? And you got out and you went the systematic way of getting where you are. I come from the streets. I'm a hustler. Once I learned, I'm serious, man. I mean, straight out in the street, you know? And I learned that if I had a good attitude and I was willing to sacrifice myself and to discipline myself to get where I wanted to go, there's nothing to stop me with God's help, you know? And I went through a transition where I got out and I went to Simon David. And no, I'm not a morning person. So I stopped groceries. And then once I stopped groceries, I ran into somebody that, and I lost my job stocking groceries because I was being too, how would they say, bodacious. I'm a very, very, very aggressive personality, you know, and that's from the street. I had to learn that these people were afraid of me to be big and black. You have to know that these people are afraid of you, and you have to have a great attitude and smile throughout any adversities that you have on these jobs. But once you get your own, you still have to be smiling. Because you have customers and consumers. So, again, I started at Simon David. Then I went to Dillard's. I sold shoes. I was pretty good with talking. I wasn't too bad to look at, you know. I think that was my advantage, you know. I wasn't too bad to look at, and those people were, you know, more reluctant to talk to me and deal with me. And then I went from that to selling furniture. You know, I went to work with a suit and tie, and I thought I was the man. You know, I was doing basic things. And then, you know, you had to be on time at Dillard's every day. So I finally lost that job, and a partner of mine said, hey, man, he knew I was a salesman, and he was a dent repair technician, and he chased hailstorms y'all, you know, for business, and then I would talk to the customers and then get business and sign them up and do the things that we needed to do, you know, talk to insurance companies and so forth. And he went to Nebraska and left me to, you know, kind of run the business. And he left a hood there. And I was, and it slowed down to a crawl. And I was like, I'm not going to sit here every day. So that hood, I started training to do paintless dent repair. When he came back, maybe a month later, I was fixing dents. And we fixed the dent lid together, and it took me maybe 45 minutes to fix that dent lid, which is a trunk. Gave me $400. I knew it was on then. You know what I mean? I made $400 the whole week that I was watching his deal, you know. I knew it was on then, so I took my skill, because he wrote me a terrible check, which was cool. He finally made it right. But I took my skill to go sell what I'd learned to the different, you know, dealers and so forth and so on. And I just grew from there. You know, I grew from there, from these small mom-and-pop dealerships to these large dealerships. The last time I fixed Thomas's car, I was over the whole body shop at Plano Ford. Remember you dropped your car off over there, Tommy? Plano Ford. That's how far it has come. I've come from, and I've been doing it 26 years now.
Wow.
I got a lot of extra new toys, but basically what you need to really know is God will make a way if you desire a way. And these drugs and alcohol and the environment and everything will kill any dream that you have. So you can start your business. Like you said, I did go down and get an account because I had to have a business. I've had an account for 27 years. It blows my mind, you know, that I started this business right on Buckner. You know, Buckner Avenue when you know, it was a small Buckner. But anyway, I just had a different path, and the knowledge that you has expressed, you know, I never went the credit route because I didn't need no credit. You know, I just didn't need credit because if I fix a rental car, it takes 2 days, I'd made $4,000. So my money was different from yours. You know what I mean? And I've been doing that for years and years, you know, 26 years or plus. So I still had the hustler mentality, you know. But now, today, and even the home that I own, Craig. But now, today, I have a different vision. I'm asking Thomas to find me some land so that I can play the game. Correct. You see what I mean? So I can. I'm just now catching on to playing the game correctly because my money came in so, you know, fluently. I didn't need that. But a lot of people need to know where you went through to get where you're going. You know what I mean? Where you've gotten. Because everybody's not going to be able to do painless dent repair.
And it's so inspiring to see that, you know, even though y'all had different paths, it's so inspiring to see, because one thing that y'all had in common was y'all took those baby steps. And then you could see, and I mean, you could hear in each one of you guys' story was, you know, the word says that we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. He will exalt us in due time. So y'all showed through humility, you know, you took what you could get, you sold shoes. Then you went to another job, and through the act of humility, you became lucrative business owners. And that and just did not have to return back to that life of crime. Go back to the streets and sell and do it. So there is always a possibility if you allow yourself the time, if you humble yourself, and it goes to show that if you humble yourself and allow yourself the time, it doesn't take a long time. But Sam, you know, I've seen you. Well, I've seen Ralph, and I've seen you. But I've seen y'all go, you know, go out there and get it. And it hasn't been over a long period of time. Before you think about it, you know, a lot of time had them pass by. I mean, a lot of time had them
thing is here too, that a lot of people, you have to understand, you got to cut some people off, some things off. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm the only business owner in my family. After 20 years in institution, a lot of people don't know. They won't believe I've been in prison 20 years. And I tell y'all a story when I was a supervisor at the airport, HVAC supervisor. They like, man, come on, man. You ain't been no prison for 20 years. I said, yeah. But I had to cut some people off. And they like, you tripping. Oh, now you got this, now you got that. Hold on, wait a minute. Because the information, you didn't use it. And then the first thing they say, well, how did you get this? What did you do to this, get this here? And I'm steady sharing the information with them. You know what I'm saying? Well, I'm steady giving it to them. But the first thing they say, I know.
Yeah, right.
So when they say,
I know,
yeah, well, I didn't already. I didn't try to give it to you. Yeah.
I said, I know. I tried to get it from me. It's either I know or I try to get it work for me.
This is the thing
that I had a hard time with. When I say listening, it's a difference between listening and hearing. Listening is doing what somebody tells you to do. That's already been there. That's a good way to advance yourself if you can listen. But a lot of times, think about it. If you're not in tune with listening, you don't know how to listen. It's going to be one out the other. Like when you're telling these brothers how to do it, they're listening. They're standing literally in your presence, but they're not observing things. That's why you have to really concentrate on listening.
Fancy, mute yourself.
You know what I mean? Whoever's out there listening, practice listening. Because you can hear, a lot of people are listening. You think they're listening, but they're thinking about what they're going to say after you talk, after you've spoken to them. If they can continue to listen to you, they will get more out of, you'll get more out of listening than you do talking. So if you can practice to listen, like the information that you have, Stacey, if they would listen, could actually listen to you, they could apply it. But they can't hear you. A lot of people can't hear you. A lot of people can't hear. They're just listening, but they're not absorbing it. I'm hoping I'm getting through to somebody, because if you, like a bar, you're sitting at a bar and you're talking to an educated man, right? And he's saying a bunch of stuff that's pertinent, but you don't really know what he's saying because you haven't practiced listening. And it's okay to ask questions. Wait a minute. You said something, so what is the definition of that? Then you start listening. Then you start understanding. And then you can apply that information that you've got. You know what I mean? A lot of times I have to ask people, repeat what I said. They can't even do it because they weren't listening. Practice listening. That's the biggest key to success. Listening and discipline and prayer and goals. I mean, this is another thing about us as a people. We're not used to planting a seed and watching it grow. We want it overnight. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And you have to be disciplined enough to water that plant. And watch it bloom into something like you have, my man. You know what I mean? You watch that grow. And you're getting a new truck. Watch your seed grow. And it goes, but you know, I'm going to have to go here, and I don't want to. It was designed for us to fail as a people. It's not an excuse, like I said in the beginning. We're all individuals. And we can do whatever it is that we desire to do. God has given us the power. But it was designed for us to fail. Those ghettos just didn't happen overnight. They didn't just put those there. We didn't decide to go over to the ghetto. That was a place that they put us. They wouldn't allow us to buy property there. So you
haven't had an opportunity to get generational wealth.
I'm glad you said that because I ain't going to take me to the next point, and it's about the housing, because in the parole system, a lot of guys, when they come out of prison, they can't find somewhere to rent. They can't get an apartment because of their background. They can't
right.
lease the property because of their background. But Fancy can attest to this. Might not be able to rent nothing. You can't find nothing nowhere. One thing about it, FHA guidelines clearly state you don't have, no matter what your background is, you can purchase a home.
Amen.
You know, and that's what a lot of young men don't want. The only thing that you have to do is get on your job, stay on your job 6 months, and you can get a home loan. A lot of people don't know that. And I've seen it happen so many times in real estate because I'm a real estate professional. I've gotten quite a few men that have gotten out of prison. I've made them first-time homeowners by taking them down, watching them, just tell them to go get their job. I've seen them go get their job. I've seen them stay on their job, do what it takes to get their credit straight, and they purchase their own home. So there's nothing like a man having his own home. It's one thing for a woman to, you know, it ain't nothing wrong with, you know, having them moving in with their wife or so on and so forth. But it ain't nothing like a man going out and getting his own place to stay. You know, it's just, it gives them a whole nother mindset. And I've seen
mm-hmm.
them go and get anywhere from $200,000 to $300,000 home straight out of prison 6 months because they can't discriminate because of the fair housing laws. They cannot discriminate against you based on your background when it comes to purchasing a home. Instead, you can tell them about your story, and then we'll let you talk about that. Okay, I'm going to shut up.
Let me give you guys an example. I come out, like I said, I came out in 2012. I got my AJC like in December. Matter of fact, it was on my brother's birthday, October the 31st, in 2013. From there, I started, you know, dibbling, dabbling, and trying to understand the rules of HVAC, not only the rules how to apply skill. And I went from climbing 140-degree attics to being a supervisor pushing paperwork. A lot of people, you know, they understand that they want their instant gratification. But life is not like that. That's in the street. I've been in the street. I lived in the street. I moved money from state to state. I did all that. But the thing about it is that short-lived, you know what I'm saying? Because they always say, Rob, you say what they sell us in the street, either in the dead in the graveyard or you're in the prison system. You know what I'm saying? And so that, once you understand that the tricks that's been played on us as a people, like Ralph was saying, that them ghettos ain't there for, just by per chance, once you understand that, you have to surround yourself with people that's smarter than you, number one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm not the smartest guy in the world. You know what I'm saying? I can read and write, and I have an understanding, but majority of people I know are millionaires. And somebody say, you know, two of my friends say, you know what, man? Hey, I want you to have what I got. So let me show you how to do this and that. But like Rob said, I sat in my partner's office one day. He got an office over here in Oakville. Helpful brother, man. I sat over there, and we own five different screens. He's buying cars from the auction, telling me to watch
mm-hmm.
the screen right here. And he told me, he said, you know what, man? After I've been dealing with him for like 3 years, he said, man, I like you. You know why I help you? Because you ain't gonna take no for an answer. You know, tell me, you ain't gonna take no for an answer, you know, and not only you're not gonna take no for an answer, but you, when I get information, you go and do some research, you come back with other questions, because I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, yeah, you have a lot of people out here repairing credit. Us as a people, our credit is shot, but like Thomas said, 6 months on a job, you can correct that, man. You got to understand how to play the game. And playing the game is to understand the rules. there's a dummy, there's a book they call the dummy theory, right? You can't say you don't know no more because the information age is right in front of you on this computer, on your phone. So you can't say, well, I can't learn this, I can't learn that. I don't believe that, you know. Misinformation and start find somebody who puts information to you. Hey, I can take this trucking industry and explain it to a 5-year old for a 5-year old to understand. I can take my program that I put together and explain it to a 5-year old. Once you gain knowledge, once you gain the knowledge with some, you understand what you have the knowledge of. So once you understand it, you have wisdom so you can teach it to somebody else. And that's how the chain goes. You know, a lot of people say wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. But if you don't know now, how can you understand something? You know,
exactly.
how can you get somebody some information about the thing that you've been through and there's no history? You don't have no history there. So that's why I say learn something, get an understanding you're doing. And then you move on and plan. Moving to the housing situation, Summer. You know, I don't know what rap. Mute your mic, Ralph.
I'm telling you, Ralph, can you mute your mic? Ralph, can you mute your mic?
I hear you. Slow down. Let me know.
Yeah, all right,
mute your mic.
With the housing situation, once you get a person inside the apartment complex that you can rent a house or whatever, I'm gonna put it like this here. A lot of brothers out there with sisters, they've been dating their sister, have kids by the sister, or he may not be a kid. You have to repair the relationship and get an understanding. Hey, if we're gonna be together, we're gonna move forward together. If we're not, let's go on about your business now, because you there with the sister, her kids or your kids, where you have a blended family or whatever. And so the ground rules have to be down. Do you understand those rules? That's when you put your blinders on and say, hey, it's me and you against the world. And I tell my wife all the time, you're going to be down like full flat tires and full flat spares, or you ain't going to be down at all. You understand? Because if a woman's down, if a woman is down with you, like a tire on a car, flat, you ain't going nowhere. All four tires flat. Yeah. And then the spares that you got, they're flat. So I'm not going nowhere. You ain't going nowhere. Let's move forward. And then my wife, what I did to her, I said, hey, you got to learn the paperwork of this business. And see, that's my partner. You know what I'm saying? If she didn't want to learn, I say, look here, I'm busy doing these things here. I'm talking to brokers every day. I'm talking to all these people every day. When I send you an invoice, when I send you that, you create an invoice for it and go get our money. You know what I'm saying? So this is what she do. And a lot of people, man, you know, you get to a point where fear up and bother. You're scared to get out there and take that chance. You're going to die with some debt. I'm not going to lie to you. You're going to die with debt. But one of the things in the business world, well, before the business world, you know, I had two twin officers. They used to tell me, hey, put your hand in your pocket. I'm like, what? Put your hand in your pocket. So I put my hand in my pocket. He put his hand in his pocket. One of the twins did. Another twin put his. He said, you'll never have no money if you got too many hands in your pocket. Meaning that every time you go in your pocket to spend something, you got five or six more hands reaching in your pocket taking money out. So I took that concept and applied it to business. You know, I'm not a spendthrift, they call it. I don't have the dream, believe it or not. Some of us, a lot of people don't believe I've been driving the same cargo van, 2005 cargo van, for the last 8 years. You know what I'm saying? And I bought my wife a new car, but that's my car van, that's my Lamborghini. And you know what I'm saying? I'm going to take that and I'm going to keep that forever. You know, but I'm not a bling bling type of dude. If you know, I don't wear jewelry besides a wedding band and a ring that I have, and you go to the different religions around the world. But you got to understand, you know, you got to have some discipline in your spending. The Nike tennis shoes, the Jordan, I never in my life bought a pair of Air Jordans, and I won't. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm like this here. Well, I'm going to go spend that much money on a pair of shoes. I'm going to get two pair of tennis shoes for that amount of money. You know, so you have to have some discipline. You have to have some discipline. And you can't be like they always tell us growing up. You can't live like but when you come to the house is late. You know what I'm saying? I don't care about this and that. When I come home, like say you come home to your couch, and that's one of the things you have to have. You have to have some discipline, some spending discipline, and understand the finances. Get those books called The Dummy Series, Housing for Dummies, Finance for Dummies. It's a whole series that I used to read those books back to back in the institution. You know, and these are the things I learned. And a lot of brothers I run across, you know, they want to learn, but they don't know where to start. And that's why I came in. I used to be on the rec yard. Give y'all a little synopsis in institution. I had wardens, majors, captains, lieutenants, CEOs, write parole letters for me to come home. Once I did the program and I ran it for 3 years consecutively, parole board asked me, why I'm going to let you go? And I was like, okay. So I had a little pamphlet when I first went in the parole office. And one of the parole officers, the lady, she was crying. You know, she crying. Once I told her my story and the change I made as an individual, she couldn't believe it. And the guy like, what makes your program? I took every program TDC had off. You know what I'm saying? And one of the problems that I see with the program is it takes a lot of time. Not telling a man about himself. You know, once he's learned about yourself, you got to make some changes within yourself, because if you don't make no changes in yourself, you know, you'd be returning. You've been in that what they call the recidivism door. One of the things that I always say for men is that character and conduct multiplied by itself. That's my mission statement with the program. You know, like Ralph was saying, the character, you have to have good character, good conduct. You have to have these things, and, you know, you'll go further in life. You know, like I say, that guy that was sweeping the floor, it ain't his job, but he wants something for it. Because, you know, like when he get that extra time out, they first person they look to, you know. Like I say, if you have any questions or type of questions, I'm here. I'm always a person. And I'm the type of person like this here. I try to give information to people that, who's trying to move to that next level. It's a thing in the truck industry. They said, I talk to drivers, owner operators talk to owner. Hey, man, I talk to a guy that's trying to learn and trying to move to the next level. You know, it doesn't make a difference if he's been driving for this company 5 years, 20 years, or just a year. You know, if he asks a question, I'm going to explain it to him, you know, what he needs to do to move to the next level.
Okay, Denise, that's our 90 minutes. So we can let you take it back over.
Okay.
We appreciate you, Sansa and Ralph, coming on here and sharing y'all stories and y'all paths. And
I think what Stacey said best was, you know, you do have to watch your money. You know, and the way you said it, a little more educational than the way I was giving it to. My uncle sold lots of drugs, and he said, Rafi, you can't never have no money if you spend it all. And an old man told me, like you said, these are things that I keep with me in my heart. Old man died, told me, Junior, don't never live above your means.
Yes.
See, people today are above their needs, and then that becomes the strike. You don't have, you're mad at somebody else because they have.
Okay.
But if you live within your means, you can have whatever you want.
Okay.
You don't have to have a half a million dollar home to impress the Joneses. Whatever makes you happy, living within your means. You know, that's why I've never had to go get money from people, because I live within my means. You know, I stack paper, but then I didn't go buy $200,000 home either. And then to have to deal with those people,
You don't have to go, yes, sir, Mr. Charlie, to keep driving your Cadillac. You can tell Mr. Charlie to go to hell. Excuse my language. But that's the truth. You know what I mean? Live within your means and you can't have money if you spend it all.
don't care if you're living in the projects or whatever. Clean it up. If you want to paint it blue, paint it blue. Make it, you know what I mean? If you make $20, go find something that's going to enhance your environment. You know what I mean? Enhance your environment. You'll have a better outlook on life. And then once you continue to enhance your environment, you're going to move out of those situations. You know, the projects and the lower, you know, financial districts. Then you find yourself moving up, and then, I mean, I've been in neighborhoods where it's really depressing to pass through. Can you imagine living in that neighborhood consistently every day?
Exactly. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's your environment that really captivates that controls your mind.
Exactly.
And a lot of us are in positions where we can't change our environment, but you can change your immediate environment.
Right. By picking it up, making it look better, making it look
neat, exactly.
All of those things, which will help make you feel better. It really does make you feel
exactly.
Better.
Exactly. It gives you self-esteem.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And if you can't afford a haircut, make sure you comb it every day.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Just
yeah.
The small things that we have, you know, that people, it's the small things that make us grow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The little big goal. This is, like you said, you plant a seed. And you have to watch it grow.
Exactly.
That's it with your environment, with your health, your goals, your willpower, and all of those things. But I'm going to be honest with you. God did it. Because I was out here knocking on these doors, and these people were telling me, no.
Turn your mouth if you got to tell.
Okay, no. And I said, this is God's will, and I'm going to make it wherever he allows me to make it. So I'm done.
Yeah. So let us, because we do have, I mean, you all have so much more to give us, and I really want to hear it. So we'll have to make us another date, and we get together and talk some more. If y'all willing to do that, I would love to do it. So okay, we'll make that date. We'll talk about that and when we get off the phone, off of here, and we'll make a date for you all to come, because you have a lot more to give. And so I'm just so thankful for your time today. We have had an amazing time, and we've had some great discussion from these two gentlemen about the process and about their journey. And so I'm hoping that, you know, people will share this and have people listen to it that need to listen to this, I mean, these conversations, and that will help improve your life. And even if you haven't been incarcerated, he said some amazing things about just cleaning up your environment to make you feel better. And working on your credit and working on your finance, they said some amazing things for everybody. So this just wasn't for people that were, you know, have been incarcerated. This is news all of us can use. I'm gonna say it just like that.
It's news all of us can use
to better our situation, to better our life. And like he was saying on the end, you know, you can't spend all your money just because you made it. Don't mean you gotta spend it. Put some up, save some, and do some other things with it. I, like, you know, during the pandemic, I started investing. And so I had never really done that, no more than my 401k and those kind of things, but I started doing my own investing. And so I saw how it was growing. I thought, I'm going to do this. I'm already doing this. So anyway, some things that cause you to go in different directions that will be a blessing to you. Thank you all so much for being a part of Impact Moments today. We're going to put this out. It'll be out there on YouTube, and it's going to be on our Impact Moment website. And hopefully I'm getting a YouTube page for Impact Moments, and so that it'll be out there as well. Thank you so much, Thomas. Thank you for your time. And all of those that joined us, I thank you. And so we will be back here, be back again with these gentlemen on the line, and they can give us some more insight. Because he said something about a relationship. Both of them said something about relationships. They got a lot to talk about that to help a whole lot of people. I'm telling you, I was getting excited about a whole bunch they were saying. So anyway, we need this kind of information. We need these kind of discussions to help our communities and everybody that we know. So thank you so much, gentlemen, for your time. I really appreciate it. And this has been Denise and Thomas. We've been your host and co-host today on Impact Moments. Thank you. I'll call y'all.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And they have all had two different paths. One thing he was going for, I said, okay. And then he started back up, but him and that phone was cracking me up. I still got the line going. No. Down there, though. Yeah, I'm
and I
need to stop fighting amongst themselves over there. Maybe they can help each other. They stop fighting. They over there doing too much. What are they over there fighting for now?